RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news, first the headlines. Ministers of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia and China hold bilateral meeting in Beijing, China. President of Lithuania is scheduled to visit Indonesia for economic cooperation. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi LP left for Beijing to hold bilateral meeting with Chinese Minister of Foreign Affairs Wang Yi on Saturday, May 13, 2017. The meeting is aimed at strengthening bilateral relationships such as to follow up several issues that have been enacted from the meeting of Indonesian and Chinese President last November. The spokesman of Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Nasir, in a press briefing on last Friday, explained that the main issue related to the bilateral issues is about the Plan of Action 2017-2020. It is an implementation plan for a strategic comprehensive partnership between Indonesia and China. The meeting also discussed issues related to the development of the situation in the region such as South China Sea issues and the situation on Korean Peninsula. The framework of the COC meeting has come to the last phase. We hope that there will be produce agreement related to the meeting mid of the year. One of the issues certainly to be discussed by both ministers on how to accelerate post-framework meeting. Armanata further explained that related to the regional issues, current situation at Korean Peninsula will also become the main priority to be discussed. Both ministers will discuss about what step can be taken by China to maintain conducive situation at Korean Peninsula. On May 14 to 15, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi is scheduled to accompany the Indonesian President Joko Widodo to attend meeting of Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation. The meeting will be attended by 20 heads of state. Indonesia's attendance is to improve cooperation of the national infrastructure development acceleration and gain support from blueprint connectivity and national infrastructure construction. Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė is scheduled to visit Indonesia on May 17, 2017. The spokesman of Foreign Affairs Ministry Armanata Nasir, in a press briefing on Friday, explained that it will be the first visit of President Dalia to Indonesia. Both presidents will discuss improvement in economic cooperation, especially trading. For Indonesia, it was a chance to open market access of products in Lithuania. Besides, there will be discuss about renewable energy cooperation and energy conservation as well as agriculture and transportation. Armanata further explained that based on the schedule, there will also be discussed the agreements related to renewable energy and energy conservation and transportation. Lithuania has capability and specialty in renewable energy, especially in biomass and biofuel. Indonesia expected there will be technology transfer from Lithuania to Indonesia. Armanata explained that although trade value of both countries relatively low, the potential are quite high. In tourism, the visit of Lithuanian tourists to Indonesia in 2016 reached to 5,521 tourists. It was bigger than in 2015. Indonesian government through the Health Ministry in collaboration with the Tobacco Control Support Center, the Association of Indonesian Public Health Experts will hold the 4th Indonesian Conference on Tobacco or Health 2017 in Jakarta on 14 to 16 of May. Director of Health Promotion and People Empowerment of the Health Ministry, Dedi Kuswendo, on Friday in Jakarta said the conference is aimed at facilitating various sides, the government, civil society, private sectors, and academician in achieving common sense and commitment to reach the Sustainable Development Goals. In addition, the conference is also aimed at building agreement to integrate tobacco control program and sharing best practices in tobacco control. The role is to build commitment of stakeholders regarding measures on tobacco control as key to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals, to build an agreement to integrate tobacco control measures and to achieve SDGs. Furthermore, Dedi Kuswendo stated that the government hopes that the meeting will produce commitments to strengthen tobacco control policy in Indonesia. The government also expects that the conference will produce policy options on tobacco control within the country, either in the national or regional level. The World Health Organization has put Indonesia as the third largest tobacco market under China and India. The data shows that cigarettes epidemic in Indonesia has reached an alarming point that more than one-third of Indonesia's population is categorized as smokers. Chairman of Tobacco Control Support Center Association of Indonesian Public Health Experts Sumarjati Arjoso on Friday in Jakarta encouraged the government and all related parties to stop cigarette advertisement in medias. According to her, the cigarette advertisement in media has a huge contribution to the increasing number of smokers among young people. One of measures to stop cigarettes advertisement is through regulation of broadcasting law in the parliament.
Iklan rokok itu sungguh meracun para remaja.
The cigarettes advertisement is truly poisoning the teenagers. Research of Hamka University shows that those teenagers are truly smoking because of that advertisement. The parliament is currently revising the broadcasting law to put the drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes advertisement is forbidden. Cigarette, according to Health Law Number 36 of 2009, was stated as an addictive substance, but why it can be advertised and considered a normal product? There must be the normalization of cigarette. The Ministry of Health notes that among teenagers aged to 13 to 15 in Indonesia, there are 20% of smokers, of whom 41% are teenage boys and 3.5% are girls. Smoking habits in Indonesia, according to data from the Ministry of Health, has killed at least 235,000 lives each year and requires substantial costs for treatment. Regarding to that, the government considers that non-transmitted disease through cigarettes can be a serious threat to sustainability of the National Health Insurance Program. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, accompanied by a member of ministries, will leave for Beijing to attend the One Belt, One Road Summit conference on May 14 to 15. The Indonesia hopes will receive infrastructure funding from the event. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung at the State Palace, Jakarta on Friday said the President Joko Widodo deliberately attended the event, given the summit is an activity that brings many investors. President hoped with the Indonesia's participation in the event, many investors will be interested to invest in Indonesia. Pramono Anung further explained in the summit concept, Indonesia is a country that becomes a strategic place from the maritime side. This actually should be taken benefit as much as possible for the interests of the nation. Indonesia has many traditional natural medicines that are widely known in Indonesian regions respectively. Traditional treatment currently becomes an interesting alternative treatment among the community, in addition to chemical drugs which is considered to have side effects. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla encouraged the increasing of traditional natural medicines production in order to grow the people's economy in the region that rich in traditional medicines. This is disclosed by Vice President Yusuf Kalla on Saturday when opening the Indonesian Natural Product Expo 2017, an exhibition event of natural products in Jakarta.
Berasal dari produk alamiah, bukan produk kimia.
Treatment or other necessities derived from natural products rather than chemical products. Indeed, this tendency has become part of the world's efforts and all of us. Many countries have advanced because of the traditional treatment. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, moreover, added the government encouraged the program from the Indonesian Agency of Drug and Food Control to improve the quality and trust toward the Indonesian traditional medicine. This is considered that traditional medicines are getting more trusted both in the national and foreign markets. The last item. Creative industry in Indonesia in 2017 is developed rapidly. The Central Bureau of Statistics note its growth has increased. Deputy Head of Indonesian Creative Economy, Ricky Joseph Pesik, in Jakarta on Friday said if referring from the result of a special survey in the field of creative economy conducted by the Central Bureau of Statistics and the Indonesian Creative Economy Agency at the end 2016, the creative industry continues to improve. He asserted besides growing well, the creative industry also absorbs a lot of labors and contributed significantly to the Indonesia's export. He also mentioned several programs done by creative economy body during 2016, especially the national and international programs saw a pretty good progress. Well, listener, that was the news of RRW Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with press review. Various important events occurring this week have been featured in the editorials of some leading media published in Jakarta and are summarized in the press review. Let's start with Media Indonesia newspaper, which in its editorial on Thursday, May the 11th, wrote respecting Basuki's legal step. Court rulings must be considered right and respected before the higher court annul them. That is one of the basic principles prevailing in the rule of law. Like or dislike, agree or disagree, the North Jakarta District Court verdict over Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahaya Purnama alias Ahok must be considered true and respected. At the same time, Ahok's right to seek substantive justice must also be considered true and respected also. The North Jakarta District Court panel chaired by Judge Diwiarso Budi Santiarto has sentenced Ahok to 2 years in prison and he was immediately imprisoned on Tuesday, May the 9th. Ahok declared an appeal against the verdict and now he is detained in Makobrimob Kelapa II Depok after having stopped at Cipinang Penitentiary. Media Indonesia newspapers wrote that it is not wrong to remind Ahok supporters to respect the court's verdict as Ahok also respects the law. The appeal and appeal for suspension of detention must be interpreted as a tribute to the law itself because the Constitution says that Indonesia is a law-based country. Turning to Sindo newspaper, in an editorial on Tuesday, May the 9th, it wrote on low-cost housing consistency. In the last 2 weeks, the government's commitment to bring low-cost housing to low-income people has graced media coverage. How to get a cheap house? This question is spreading after people see evidence that the government is realizing cheap housing with 1% down payment as part of a million house program. The president has inaugurated 3 locations of cheap housing area, namely in South Tangerang, Depok, West Java, and Cikarang, Bekasi, West Java also. This will be followed with various regions throughout Indonesia. According to Koran Sindo, government steps to overcome the impasse of housing development, especially for lower-class people, should be appreciated. Only the government should remain consistent in several matters concerning the sustainability of the housing program, among which the government must ensure the smoothness of the assistance facility in the form of interest subsidy facilities. Sindo newspaper also wrote related to the availability of adequate means of transportation, some developers have suggested to the government to make a clear zoning for low-cost housing firmly. Furthermore, there should be consistency of policies between the central and local government concerning the matter. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on May 13, 1881, about Rotuna Day. Rotuma Day is a celebration which is held annually on 30th May on Rotuma Island, Fiji. The celebration commemorates the handing over of Rotuma Island to Great Britain on 13 May 1881. The celebration is usually held on the last weekend, which is closest to the date of 30th May and attended by representatives of the government of Fiji. On this occasion, it is also used by delegation to observe various development projects which are held by the government of Fiji on Rotuma Island. Rotuma is a small island which is located around 400 kilometers at north of Fiji Islands. The next event was in 1950 when Grand Prix Formula One was held for the first time. Before holding officially, the competition of four wheels auto competition sport has existed since 1894. But on 30 May 1950, the competition becomes the beginning of the emergence of four-wheel vehicle race, or Formula One formally. Grand Prix was held for the first time in England at the Silverstone Circuit with a distance around 300 kilometers. The first world championship for drivers was won by Italian Giuseppe Farina in his Alfa Romeo in 1950, narrowly defeating his Argentine teammate Juan Manuel Fangio. And the last event was in 1969 when the 30th May 1969 incident occurred. The 30th May 1969 incident refers to the Sinomulai sectarian violence in Kuala Lumpur, then part of the state of Selangor, Malaysia. The riot occurred in the aftermath of the 1969 Malaysian general election when opposition parties made gains at the expense of the ruling coalition, the Alliance Party. Official reports put the number of deaths due to the riot at 196, although Western diplomatic sources at the time suggested a toll of close to 600, with most of the victims Chinese. The racial riots led to declaration of state of national emergency or darurat by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, resulting in the suspension of the parliament by the Malaysian government. While the National Operation Council NOC, also known as the Majlis Gerakan Negara, was established as a caretaker of government to temporarily govern the country between 1969 and 1971. The event is significant in Malaysian politics as it led to the resignation of the first Prime Minister, Tunku Abdul Rahman, and eventually resulted in a change in the government policy that would favor Malaysia's by the implementation of new economic policy, NEP. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today it's on Indonesia invites investors to develop ports in Indonesia. Indonesia hosted the meeting of the International Association of Ports and Harbors in the 30th World Ports Conference 2017. The conference took place from May the 7th to 12th in Nusa Dua, Bali, followed by 459 international harbor delegations from 51 countries. They came from China, Germany, the Netherlands, Japan, New Zealand, Iran, the United States, South Korea, and Norway. President Director of PT Pelabuhan Indonesia 2 or Persero, Evelyn G. Masaya, on Wednesday, May the 10th, said that the World Port Conference is one of the forums for executives related to the sustainability of seaport business. The conference was also used by Indonesia to strengthen the port system in the homeland, as well as open a new network with other marine expert countries. According to Evelyn, ports in Indonesia have prepared various infrastructures to support the concept of sustainability, among others by equalizing the depth of water in all Indonesian ports so it can serve large ships. Indonesia has also transformed into digital port system, such as the Indonesian National Single Window System, due to the port requirements of the world in the direction of digital ports. Meanwhile, Santiago Gardamila, president of the International Association of Ports and Harbors, said the concept of sustainability to port is not only on the business side. However, there is also social sustainability that is creating jobs. The World Port Conference was officially opened by the Indonesian Coordinating Minister of Maritime, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan. In his speech, Minister Luhut invited foreign investors to invest in Indonesia. He said the port has an important role in Indonesia, which currently is realizing the vision as a maritime axis of the world. He promised the government would be transparent and try to make this country more efficient in the future. The conference also witnessed the signing of Memorandum of Understanding between Indonesian PT Pelindo and an Azerbaijan port company, Baku International Sea Trade Port, and also a port company of China, Port of Ningbo. The cooperation, which is in the form of sister ports, was established to build business and partnership cooperation, implementation of port cooperation management standard, cooperation in IT and infrastructure. Evelyn explained there are benefits that will be obtained by PT Pelindo from cooperation with Port of Baku and Port of Ningbo. It will bring direct import-export to Azerbaijan and China. In this way, the volume of Indonesian trade can be improved. Well, that was focused today on Indonesia invites investors to develop ports. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here's news in brief. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi LP left for Beijing to hold bilateral meeting with Chinese Minister of Foreign Affairs Wang Yi on Saturday, May 13, 2017. Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė is scheduled to visit Indonesia in May 17, 2017. Indonesian government through the Health Ministry in collaboration with the Tobacco Control Support Center and the Association of Indonesian Public Health Experts will hold the 4th Indonesian Conference on Tobacco or Health 2017 in Jakarta on 14 to 16 of May 2017. Chairman of the Tobacco Control Support Center, Association of Indonesian Public Health Experts Sumaryati Arjoso on Friday in Jakarta, encouraged the government and all related parties to stop cigarette advertisement in medias. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, accompanied by a member of ministry, will leave for Beijing to attend the One Belt, One Road Summit Conference on May 14 to 15. Indonesia has many traditional natural medicines that are widely known in Indonesian regions respectively. Traditional treatment currently becomes an interesting alternative treatment among the community. Creative industry in Indonesia in 2017 is developed rapidly. The Central Bureau of Statistics note its growth has increased. Well, listener, that was news in brief for RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, Here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of Indonesian tourism objects, Mount Talamau, located in West Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listener, Indonesia is well known with amazing nature beginning from beach until mountain. In every region, there is always interesting tourism object to be explored. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Mount Talamau, which becomes one of destinations in West Pasaman Regency, West Sumatra. Mount Talamau presents the beauty of nature. Even though this mountain is active, it doesn't discourage spirit of the climbers to climb this mountain. Listener, the enchantment of Mount Talamau is very beautiful. There are 13 lakes which will amaze the climbers if they succeed to climb Mount Talamau. To go to 13 lakes takes around 12 hours from Pinaga village, Pasaman sub-district, Pasbar Regency. Mount Talamau has 2,982 meters height above sea level, the peak of the mountain named Raja Dewa. Before climbing the highest peak of the mountain, there is second peak named Tri Marta, and the first peak is Raja Wali, which has to be conquered first. Listener, after walking around 150 minutes from the gateway, the climber will arrive at Shiharimau Kampo Hills. On the hills, the visitors will witness Putih Lenggogeni waterfall. After continuing the trip around 15 minutes, the climber will find Saribu Bunyan Hill and also Rindu Alam Gazebo. So the climber will take 12 hours to see the beauty of Mount Talamau. Listener, flora and fauna at Mount Talamau is still managed well. Besides medical plants, there are also various kinds of animals, but not all natural wealth at Mount Talamau is allowed to be brought down or tampered. During on Mount Talamau, the climber must obey the rule which is decided by guard post of Mount Talamau. Usually, arriving at the main pass, the guard will give brochure rules to climbers. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Mount Talamau in West Sumatra Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, on Miscellany. Listener, two-thirds of Indonesia is maritime that has much wealth of natural resources, but biological resources that can be renewed and non-biological resources. Marine energy and marine surface until now have not been used optimally. Related with diverse biological resources in Indonesia, today's miscellany is about soft-shell crab. One of marine animals that protects themselves with hard shell but it is very popular in community is crab. Crab is not only desirable because of delicious taste and easy to process, but also contains several essential nutrients. Unfortunately, if you enjoy a dish made from crab, you will face the difficulty. That is, first you must open the hard shell and it takes time and effort. Now, you can enjoy a crab that can be eaten the whole body, no exception, a hard shell. Yusinta Fujaya, professor of University of Hasanuddin in Makassar, South Sulawesi, who is also a researcher, finds that a method to soften the shell of crab. The method by Professor Yushi, a nickname from Yusinta, is inspired by figure Popeye, a sailor character in cartoon. Before he fight against his rival, Popeye will eat spinach. So, Popeye's body become muscular, fit, and tough for his rival. Listener, Yushi start doing research on spinach. Apparently, spinach contains ecdysteroid hormone that can stimulate an old crab skin to peel and rejuvenate the skin. Compared with a method that had been done in Thailand and some areas in Indonesia, through the mutilation, a crab leg stimulates an old shell to release and produce a new soft shell. Yushi's method is much safer and not injures the animal. By injecting extract of spinach to crab's body, the period of softening shell could be shortened from the usual 30 to 35 days to 16 to 20 days. Yushinta and her team called this finding with phytomold. Professor Yushi said that an advantage of soft-shell crab is when the shell releases naturally calcium and the shell drown naturally into crab's body. Soft crab is rich of calcium, which may neutralize cholesterol and control blood sugar for diabetic. Phytomold products now have been used in some small and medium enterprises or SMEs, which develop crab in Makassar as the city of the Angin Mamiri. Through these businesses, many farmers benefit because their welfare being fulfilled and could send their children to pursue higher education. Listener, that was Miscellany for today's edition with the topic Yusinta Fujaya and Soft Shell Crab. See you again with other interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Banda Nera, an indie band. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let us listen to a song entitled Di Atas Kapal Kertas.
Tapi di sana hujan turun membasahi semua sudut kota, hapus tiap jejak jalan pulang. Berangkat di atas kapal kertas, menggantungkan haluan, menambal menyulam, menghindari karerangkat. Di atas kapal kertas, bersandar ke layarnya, di antara suka, di antara duka. Tapi di sana hujan turun membasahi semua sudut kota, hapus tiap jejak jalan pulang. Oh, berangkat di atas kapal kertas, menggantungkan haluan, menambal menyulam, menghindari karerangkat. Di atas kapal kertas, bersandar ke layarnya, di antara suka, di antara oh, berangkat di atas kapal kertas, menggantungkan haluan, menambal menyulam, menghindari karerangkat. Di atas kapal kertas, bersandar ke layarnya, di antara suka, di antara duka.
Listener, that was the first song entitled Di Atas Kapal Kertas sung by Bandanera. Bandanera is a group band which plays in Indonesian folk and Indonesian genre. This consists of Ananda Badudu as guitarist and vocalist, and big sister of Isyana Saraswati, Rara Sekar, as saxophone player and vocalist. Bandanera was established in 2012, which is fun project of Ananda and Rara. By using their free time, Ananda and Rara recorded their songs entitled Di Atas Kapal Kertas, Keantah Berantah, Kau Kelukan, and Rindu, and showed to their families and also Parahyangan Media. Then, they tried to upload their works to SoundCloud Web. Unexpectedly, Bandanera works are received well by netizen. Bandanera itself is a name of island in Maluku. Ananda and Rara chose the name because they are impressed by Sultan Syahrir and Bung Hatta, who have been exiled to Bandanera by the Dutch colonial. Although in exile, the two national figures fell in heaven because of the beauty of nature and the people of Bandanera. Listener, before we talk more about Bandanera band, let's listen to the next song entitled Berjalan Lebih Jauh.
Jalan lebih jauh,
menyelam
You have just listened to the second song entitled Berjalan Lebih Jauh, sung by Bandanera. Bandanera officially introduced themselves to public in February 2012. This band released their debut album in August 2012 entitled Paruh Waktu. The album consists of four songs which are categorized as Nelangsa pop genre. Positive response from Indonesian song lovers made Bandanera more serious. In April 2013, Bandanera released album entitled Berjalan Lebih Jauh, which represents their career for fun to be serious. Before deciding to be vacuum, Bandanera released album entitled Yang Patah Tumbuh, Yang Hilang Berganti in 2016. Unfortunately, in late 2016, Bandanera band announced that their band has dismissed after 4 year existence. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Yang Patah Tumbuh, Yang Hilang Berganti, and Sampai Jadi Debu. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Jatuh kan berdiri lagi yang patah tumbuh yang hilang berganti. Thank you.
kita tumbuh, yang hilang berganti, yang hancur lebur akan terobati, yang sia-sia akan jadi makna, yang terus berulang suatu saat henti, yang pernah jatuh kan berdiri lagi, yang patah tumbuh, yang hilang berganti, yang patah tumbuh, yang hilang berganti, yang hancur lebur akan terobati, yang sia-sia akan jadi makna, yang terus berulang suatu saat henti, yang pernah jatuh kan berdiri lagi, yang patah tumbuh, yang hilang berganti, yang patah tumbuh, yang hilang berganti, yang hancur lebur akan terobati, yang sia-sia akan jadi makna, dan terus berulang suatu saat henti, yang pernah jatuh kan berdiri lagi, yang patah tumbuh, yang hilang berhenti.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
badai Tuhan telah berlalu. Salahkah ku menuntut mesra? Tiap pagi menjelang kau di sampingku, ku aman ada bersamamu. Selamanya sampai kita tua, sampai jadi debu, ku dilihat yang satu, ku di sebelahmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.